going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, and then we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 16, and then flip back to Philippians 1. Flip to Philippians. So if you can find that in your Bible, it'd be really good, to, especially when we're in the book of Acts, to open that up and have that open. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your presence to be with us. Open our hearts and minds and to see mighty things in your word in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to learn a lot about the church, the direction of the church, the birth of a church, and how God works in the middle of nowhere and makes life come. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Remember, if you're a born-again believer, you're a saint. You're called out. You're set apart. You're holy to God. That's the true meaning of saint. Everyone here is a saint if you belong to the Lord. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with all the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. What a sense of devotion to one another and that Paul is feeling here. And I thank my God every time I remember you. I pray for you with joy for all of you. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you when I have you in my heart. And God can testify how I long for you with all the affection of Christ. Strong language, full of compassion. What is Paul feeling? What is he thinking about as he is writing this letter? I want us to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Hold your place there in chapter 16, verse 6, and we're going to tiptoe through the founding of the church in Philippi. It will go from Acts 16, verse 6, all the way to verse 40. We'll get a better understanding of why Paul would start his letter to this church in Philippi, an old ancient city that had no church, no Jewish synagogue, nothing. And out of nothing, God grew up a giant church, and now we have scripture in our hands about that church. We'll see the direction that Paul received from the Holy Spirit, the direction that all the believers there received from the Holy Spirit, and we will see that it's just like us today. So Acts 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision, a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now hold that open right there. Interesting how the power of the Holy Spirit working. The Holy Spirit didn't want them to go to Turkey. That's or actually it's Asia, but it's really what we call Turkey, off to the east. He didn't want them to go to Bithynia, which is north of Turkey, but he wanted them to go straight north to the northern part of Greece. Now we know Turkey received the gospel because all of the letters in the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches, they're all in Turkey. But God had something in mind for Paul and his companions. See, according to human wisdom, yeah, let's just go over here. Turkey, it's next. They're next. But God has a wisdom sometimes that bypasses our human understanding. And Paul was able to not only fit in with the power of the Holy Spirit leading him, but also the timing of the Holy Spirit. The timing was perfect to go somewhere else. Paul yielded to this leading. Sometimes it's not easy. We're not told exactly how it happened, but the combination of the Word of God, fellowship with one another, and we just feel and we sense, this is the direction I must go. So Paul obeyed. There is an open door, and sometimes we will rejoice over a closed door as well as we'll rejoice over an open door. Because the closed door means, well, maybe God has given me another direction, and we go for it. Paul had a vision then, a man from Macedonia. We've often heard the Macedonian call. Come and help us. Up in northern part of Greece. And the vision can really served as a confirmation that God is leading them. He doesn't want us to go over here, but he wants us to go up this way. Confirmation and growing conviction. Now, verse 10, it says in Acts 16, Paul had seen the vision and we got ready. See, Paul's not in this by himself. There's a partnership in here. And if it says we, and we know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, so Luke's including himself. Luke is in this. We got ready. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us all together. It's kind of like us. We're all together, aren't we, in this movement, in this little church here. Sometimes God calls us to do things, as he called Paul, to preach the gospel to them. So they're committed. Now they're going to go north like the wind at their backs. Verse 11 in Acts 16. From Troas we put out to the sea, sailed straight to Samothrace, and from the next day to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi. There they are, named after Philip, one of the emperor's sons. Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city in that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. Now, this is a Roman territory, and it was kind of like a little Rome, because all the leaders, when they retired, they'd go to Philippi, and it was a fancy, fancy place, and that's where they retired. And there was no Jewish synagogue there. There's nothing there. Now, in verse 13, we'll see what happens. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening, and you wonder what they're listening to. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. In other words, she had some idea of God, some longing for God. She wasn't going for the gods of Rome and Egypt and all those. She wanted the Jewish, the Hebrew God. Verse 14. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, I guess she wasn't alone, huh? Opened her heart to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home, us, Luke's included. Now here's what she said. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Isn't that amazing? Paul and his companions find a place to pray. They meet a woman named Lydia. And God opens her heart. What a miracle happened. And then she says something so humble. If you consider me a believer, you know, somebody that has put their trust in Christ, a believer, that's what a believer is. Let me come. You can come and stay at my house. So that little church in Philippi suddenly was born in that house. A household of believers were there. Now, that must have been some fascinating dinner conversation. We've got Paul the Apostle there in this house, this humble little house in Philippi. Never had anything like this before. The Roman emperor doesn't know anything about what's going on, but another emperor, another one in charge, is doing something in the midst of nowhere, essentially. Paul's there, Timothy's there, Silas is there. Lydia and her household is there. What are they talking about? It's just an awesome meeting, all under one roof. The church is born. Now, verse 16. Once when they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now see, God doesn't want the enemy preaching the gospel. He's not going to like this for very long. Verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled, he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Wow. You see, this church had a low profile in that little household in Philippi. No one really knew much about it, but suddenly something happened. You know, Paul dared to disturb business as usual. And when you disturb the world's business, the world's not going to take kindly to it. The world's going to be angry. I mean, here, business as usual is just to go ahead and let's have cruelty over this girl. Let's take her over for Satan's use. and let's just make money off of her. Yeah, she's a money-making machine. But then God comes along and sets her free. And really, that's a picture of what God wants to do with everybody. Remove them from the kingdom of darkness and set them free. And the world goes, how dare you remove someone from my kingdom? The God of this world says. But that's God's job. I want to remove more and more from. So then Paul and Silas landed in jail. Verse 19. Acts 16, verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they didn't care about this girl. She was just making money for them. God cares. What they seized Paul and Silas, now this couldn't have been pretty. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful. Remember, sometimes Christianity is illegal. Hope it doesn't happen here in our country, but anyway. These men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, and that wasn't pretty, they were thrown into a prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Verse 24, upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell, no telling what that looked like, and fastened their feet in stocks. Amazing, amazing. They caused a riot by bringing the good news. They caused a riot by setting someone free from demonic oppression. They caused a riot for upending the world's ways. The people were not happy. Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Now imagine if that happened to you or I. Wow, stripped, beaten. Think that could ever happen? Severely flogged, bruised, cut. You know, you're injured. No doctor's care, no nothing. Placed in the inner cell like a wanton criminal. No team of attorneys, no medical attention. And you know it's not sanitary wherever they stuck them. It wasn't pretty. The sight, the smell, the feet locked in stocks. What a way to start a church. Not the best church growth strategy. You know, how discouraged could we possibly... I couldn't think of a worse situation. Now let's look at verse 25. About midnight. Now that's the middle of the night. About midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. What? That's exactly what they did. They had a church service at midnight where it was illegal in jail. About midnight, Paul and Silas... You know, this is not the first time they've done this either. Like all of us, we could have a church service anywhere, couldn't we? I'm sure we could. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Captive audience right there. Verse 28. Is that what it says? 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. He was asleep. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." What's going on here? Wow, verse 29. The jailer called for the lights. Bring in those torches. I got to see what's going on. He rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. Verse 31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." You see, it spreads. The gospel spreads. Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. Wow. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his whole family were baptized. And they had a service right there in the middle of the night. The whole family saved. Now they're getting baptized. Paul and Silas are getting medical help. Verse 34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy. This jailer did not know this joy before. He's filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. What a way to start a church meeting. Where did it start? In a dungeon. What time? At midnight. Remember, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Now, this has got to be a lesson for us today. In the United States, we're a little spoiled. We got to have everything so perfect. You know, if you look at that missionary book on the back, and when you hear the missionary talk Wednesday, these people rejoice over having a lean-to. They rejoice at just being free to be able to have somebody preach the gospel to them. I mean, they can be in the middle of nowhere. They may not even have food for 2 or 3 days. I mean, we're so spoiled here in this country. We have to realize what's going on here. The other prisoners, though, during all this were listening. They were listening. It was a group effort. It was awesome. Okay, it's not your typical church crowd, not a who's who. This is a dungeon. You know, these weren't pretty people down there, right? And it's not a pretty situation. In fact, it would be ugly, except God made it beautiful. His presence was there. Suddenly, light burst in on them, and an earthquake suddenly came and shook everything, and the doors flew open, the chains fell off. Isn't that a word picture of what happens to everyone who comes to the Lord? The chains fall off, the doors are open, we're right there. Now, I like to read commentaries, I read lots of them, and some commentaries don't like supernatural things that happen in the Bible, and they will discount these things because there's lots of earthquakes that happen all the time in the ancient world. So that's what happened, a lot of earthquakes, and there could have been a 2x4 in a slot, and it bounced the 2x4 out, and the door opened. That's some of the explanation. I actually read one like that. But you know, there's a lot more explaining that needs to be done. Because if you have an earthquake in the door, usually doors jam, don't they? They don't all, and all open, not just one. They all opened. Secondly, if you're going to be bouncing around from an earthquake, how are you going to get out of those chains? There would be no bodies left. That's about the chains would last, but the bodies would be gone by bouncing from the earthquake. So those explanations don't do any good. But we can learn about how Paul and Silas, with the leading of the Holy Spirit and the sensitivity, they still are following the Lord, because if it was me, I would have been out of there. Doors are open. Earthquake. God wants me out of here. But God spoke to the heart. You just stay right there now. That's not what we would do. See, everything's opposite, if you kind of notice in this whole thing. I'm going to stay right there. And all of a sudden, the jailer, you know, he should have come out. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are different than ours. Sometimes God's ways are not convenient. Sometimes they're not media cool. Sometimes it doesn't fit the world's brand. You know, I keep hearing that word. It's so important, the brand. We got to fake it so everybody sees our fakeness. No, God wants truth and honesty in the gospel. And that's his brand, saving people. So Paul's under a whole different scenario here. God wanted the soul of that jailer. God wanted the soul of that jailer. And he had to do all this to cause and his family. God had plans for that church in Philippi, which did not exist the day before, or a couple days before. Now, this Philippian jailer was going to kill himself. He's about the sword's length distance from entering into eternity. He figured, oh, they're going to kill me because I blew my assignment here with the jail, so I'm going to kill myself. It's over. Well, the church was not silenced. But this jailer said, what must I do to be saved? But all of heaven went silent. All of heaven. What? Somebody said, what must I do to be saved? All the angels gathered around. How did he know that he needed to be saved? They were listening to he was obviously listening and had heard all day long about what was going on. Paul was preaching the gospel. He overheard the message. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not complicated. It's so simple. The gospel is so simple, but it's not simplistic, but it's very simple. It's so simple, yet to bow the knee is not simple, because many can't do it. If many could do it, this whole place would be overflowing. We'd have, you know, wings and higher 5 or 6 stories, and we'd have 10 services every morning, and the parking lot would be jammed, and, you know, because very few will really believe. So it's not simplistic, but it's simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust in him. Bow to him, and you will know when you do, because you'll want to serve him. And then you will be saved. Amazing. And then what happens is we find it so simple, but once we're in, it's not that simple, is it? All of a sudden it gets bigger and bigger, and the majesty of the Lord grows larger and larger, and we start to see joy and all kinds of things open up in our lives that were never there before. Paul wrote the chapter in the book of Romans after 11 whole chapters explaining the gospel. Here's how he ends chapter 11 in the book of Romans. Oh, the depth and riches of the wisdom of God the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond finding out. He just goes, all the wisdom and glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. The very next line says, but he has revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. See, we never knew that before we were saved. We never knew the glory of God. We sing these songs at worship. They have to do about the glory of God that's in our hearts. We need to get in tune with that and worship freely in that way. The jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? All heaven was quiet. Then Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Through the wisdom of God, the help of the Holy Spirit, through submission to obedience of Paul, Silas, and Luke, and all the rest, and through the partnership of all of the Lydia's household, look what has happened in this little city now. A church is born. Let's look at verse 35 then in Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 35. When it was daylight, wow, now what are we going to do? Well, we got to live our normal lives. It's daylight now. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order: release those men. Well, the jailer then told Paul, the magistrates have entered that you and Silas have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens. They threw us into prison, and now do they want to get rid of us quietly? In other words, because they're in big trouble. You don't do this to Roman citizens. He says, no. He refuses. Notice how everything's kind of the opposite of what now he's going the other way. Because this is what the Holy Spirit wants. Let them come in themselves and escort us out of this prison. Verse 38. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they had heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. Uh-oh, the tables have been turned. Verse 39, they came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house. Oh, another church meeting. They went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. Woo, wow. You see, I would have meekly tiptoed out of town. Oh, you let me out of prison? You want me to go? Yeah, I'm out of here. But no, the Holy Spirit sometimes does things completely the opposite. The right thing to do. They publicly beat Paul and Silas, the Roman citizens. Now they want to get rid of them? No way. Let them come in person and escort us out of this prison. Now what happens is the whole city of Philippi has noticed all these leaders all excited going to this jail and personally escorting these men out. The church is being escorted by the leaders of the city. Now the church has raised to prominence over the whole city. This church must be pretty important if they have to send somebody to escort somebody who is wrongly imprisoned. And then Paul goes to Lydia's house, and they spend some time encouraging them. Imagine what that must have been like. Yeah, and those chains came off, ha, 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 and the jailer, ha, ha. Maybe the jailer was there too. Beautiful time. What a church meeting that must have been. Now what I want to do is go back to the book of Philippians. Think about this little letter, how it began. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. This book of Philippians is interesting. Little book about this little tiny church in Philippi. Years ago, I was a youth pastor, and I was dealing with kids maybe between 11 and 14, that age group. Interesting age group because some of them are not yet in puberty. Some have already hit it, and some are transitioning. And that is a weird time to deal with kids. But I had like almost sometimes 80 or 100 kids like that. And there's certain things you had to do. And I would send letters to them all the time, little notes encouraging them. And I made something very high-tech. I made a little rubber stamp that said Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. And that's pretty high-tech back then in the 1982 or something. You know, you'd stamp that on there. I thought that was cool. Anyway, I wanted them to read it because here's what it says. And you have it on your little piece of paper, something to remind you all week what God's doing in your heart. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, this is for every believer, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, so much work had gone into those little kids' lives. So much work, and they've become believers, and the peer pressure that is on them is just, and you all probably remember what it was like, but we forget. I mean, it's like a clamp on them. Be like us. Be like us. And then the society wants to eat and chew them up and spit them out. That society no longer cares for our little kids like they used to. So I'd put this on there. to maybe they would see, you know, you've got the life of the Lord in you, so keep going forward and grow. And it's the same with us. This scripture is for us. Philippians 1:6. We all have a past. We all have a yesterday. I want to think about yesterday. When we were saved, some of our yesterdays when we were saved are a long time, you know, many years ago. But we must not forget we had a yesterday when we know we were saved. When Jesus saved us from our sins. That yesterday is important. What miracle led up to us having a yesterday in the Lord? Some miracle. God opened up somehow our hearts so we would believe. Just like he opened up Lydia's heart. Belief in the Lord is the greatest miracle on earth. It's the greatest miracle on earth to believe in the Lord. That's where it starts. It's a miracle. Somehow God got us to the point of surrendering our lives to him. We confess Jesus is our Savior. God began a good work. We must not forget that he has begun a good work. Let's not forget our past, that we have a yesterday. If you think about this, just this little church body right here, Lake Murray Church, and what God has done with us and how many have been involved. So many we can't even think of it. I can think of my own life, some of the pastors, Pastor George Gregg back at Faith Chapel, Pastor Wallace who built this church, Pastor Ray Allen, you know, everyone who's involved. This is no small endeavor, and God has started a work yesterday and it's still going on today. What led to the establishment of this little church? It should not have happened. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you, in other words, we had a past, it began, that was our yesterday, he will carry it on, that's today. He will carry it on, he has not stopped at all. When you said yes to Christ, when all who have said yes to Christ, we're living prophetically today. We're living prophecy. We have prophetic power over our lives. God's Spirit is over our lives right now. We have a present today. What is God doing today, right now in our lives? God is not silent. God is not absent. Yesterday is gone. We might be tempted to think, you know, it was better yesterday. It was better yesterday. Things are going on. I think of Gideon in the Bible, Judges chapter 6. And Gideon, he was suffering because all the Midianites were coming down from Midian and they were attacking them. They were destroying their crops. And here is Gideon putting together a little wheat, fixing some wheat inside a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. Because as soon as they see the wheat being made, they'd swoop down and get it. And Gideon's not doing well. Then suddenly an angel visits him. The Lord is with you, Gideon. What do you mean? And when did the angel come? The angel came right in the middle of Gideon's today. Right then, it was now, it was happening. The angel's point of view, it's all hot. It's all happening. It's today. What is Gideon? Gideon's still in yesterday. Here's what he said. If the Lord is with us, because he said, the Lord is with you, Gideon. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles I heard about? You know, he's still living yesterday, but right today, an angel's talking to him. Come on. God's got a plan for his life. His today wasn't going too well. He was about to find out what God could do with his today. An interesting story in Gideon. His whole today was turned around. It was today in Philippi when Paul visited. Paul and Silas and Luke went up to visit in Philippi when they got that Macedonian call. That was his today. It was happening. It was today when God opened Lydia's heart so she could believe. It was today. It was today when Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. And the jailer and his whole family got saved. It's today. Today it happened. It's today when there was no church recognized in that city. Now there is a church. God had it all arranged. God had it all arranged. And then had all that today was, it's easy to say, oh, it's better yesterday. What about today? God is working today. What about our today? Aren't we living today? God is working today. He hasn't stopped. Yes, we had stuff yesterday, but God wants to work today in our lives. We walk by faith, not by sight. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is carrying on his work. We all have a yesterday or we would not be here. Our today is alive as well. We all have a today because we're here. We wouldn't be here if God had not been working in our lives. Now, how about our forever? Our forever. In other words, God's got a plan for us into forever. It starts today. Every day is today. But our forever is just as alive as our yesterday was with the Lord. I remember hearing a Army general, remember when they were having that interview during the Katrina, and he was trying to explain what was going on, an Army general, and some reporter asked a question about, yeah, well, how come you guys are so slow and doing all, what happened, what not? He goes, don't get stuck on stupid. Remember that one? Don't get stuck on stupid. See, he had a mission. He didn't want to answer a question that had nothing to do with a mission. Now that upsets people. Oh, don't talk that way. You know, sometimes they need it in the face. Sometimes people need it. And he's the guy who's doing his job. Don't get stuck on stupid. But if you read, you can go online and listen to it. He was pretty kind when he finished speaking. But it sounds horrible, but not really, depending on who's saying it. This is an Army general. Don't get stuck on stupid. And this guy, the reporter, should have wilted right there. God has something in his word that he's saying to us today. Don't get stuck on quitting. Don't get stuck on giving up. Keep moving forward. Our today and our yesterday and our forever work together. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this. Confident, that means with fide, faith. We're full of faith. When you're full of faith, you move forward, not backwards, right? So he says, confident in this, that he who began our yesterday, that good work in you, will continue it today all the way on to the time of Christ Jesus. We're on this sweep of time that is supernatural beyond this world. Don't let your yesterday cloud you up. Don't let your today stop you. God's got something that he wants you to do for him. Confidence is not in ourselves. It's not in our performance. It's not an emotion, a feeling. It's in God. Faith in him. That's the definition of faith. Faith started in our yesterdays. It's continuing today. And we partner with the gospel all the way into the future. We're all in this together. All of us. But not just us. There's people that have been involved in this fellowship that aren't even here, and there's stuff going on we don't even know about. God is working. Keep moving forward. Now, I want to think back to this letter that Paul wrote in church in Philippi. 10 years had gone by since he was there. Now, where's Paul? He's in Rome, in jail, writing this letter. And he's thinking back 10 years, and he's writing this letter. Thinking about all the closed doors and the Macedonian call going up and the Lydia and her household and the slave girl set free and the jail at midnight, the earthquake, the doors, the chains, the jailer getting saved and them getting beaten, then getting escorted out, and now the church has gained prominence in the city that it never would have had before had not they've gone through all those things. The Holy Spirit is doing great things, great fellowship and encouragement. And Paul is especially anointed by the Holy Spirit through that situation to write one of the 66 books in our Bible called the Book of Philippians. 2,000 years old, and it's still here for us. We hold it in our hands because God still works. What I would like to do is go back to that letter and reread it, thinking about all that, keeping all that in mind that Paul was thinking of when he wrote these first 8 verses in Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, and weren't they? So you know Timothy was there. You know Luke was there. Silas was there. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, at Lake Murray, and wherever you happen to be, together with all the overseers and deacons, the church had grown, it's prospered, and it's getting large. It's organized now, 10 years later. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Think of the memories he had. 10 years, and here he is in jail, thinking back. In all my prayers for you, and all my prayers for all of you, so he continues to pray for them as we do for each other, don't we? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. He's thinking back to yesterday, he's thinking back today, and he's thinking back to the future. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion till the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. Kind of makes me think of this church a little bit and things that we're doing and all different levels of relationship that we have and puzzles, not puzzles, but, you know, people locked in together. And, you know, God is doing a vibrant thing in this church. This is a live, vibrant church. Don't let things we see throw us off. Keep moving forward. Make those plans you have. Make those phone calls. Keep reaching out in the gospel. This God wants to do things in this church. So God is opening hearts still today. He opened Lydia's heart. Could be a neighbor that he could talk to. He'll open a heart. You never know. But somebody's heart is, God is wanting to open. He did it for Lydia. He'll do it for anyone willing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure. You can just say yes to the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Then you understand what that means. Maybe there's somebody who'll listen to this recording that we'll have recorded and put online, and they can listen to it. And they're listening, and they can say yes to Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. We bow to him. That's our partnership in the gospel. We're all in this together. That's why we take communion. That's really what communion means. We commune together because of Jesus Christ. We can do that. And we're going to celebrate communion this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your blessing, your presence to be with us. Anyone hearing this message, all they need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus.